Wow, powerful time of worship already. Can you sense God's presence so strong here? You know, he's always here whether we know it or not. I just want to clarify that. He's here. Sometimes we have a heightened awareness of his here-ness, if that makes sense. Anybody who has prayed for this morning during worship for healing, if you can test that right now, if it's possible, maybe it's something that has to be proven out over time, but if you can test whatever you were prayed for and you feel like you got at least 80% better, can you raise your hand? Jack, right here, hallelujah. Louise, hallelujah. Well, if that was you, would you be clapping? Because I'm clapping, baby. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for showing yourself so clear and so powerful in this place and outside this place, too. Amen. Amen. So as you know, if you were here last week, God has called us, has inspired us to reach out to the ABC streets in Solon, which is a small neighborhood right across from Chipotle area there. It includes Solon High School. It includes Arthur Road Elementary. And so we've just been, since the first day of Lent on Wednesday, we have been praying for all of those streets, and we passed out street assignments last week. And if you missed one, I have some extra here for you. So, Alex, would you pass those out to anybody who raises their hands and say, I would like to pray for a street on the ABC streets? That would be great. Keep your hand raised till Alex gets to you. Fantastic. And if you decide to go prayer walking through your street, now don't get weirded out by that phrase. Basically, that means you're walking on that street with your eyes open, just to clarify, and you're praying for houses as you walk by. And sometimes when I've done that in the past, God will actually give me, like, drop something in my mind really specific for that house as I go by, and I'll just pray that way. But it's not weird. It's not like I'm shouting in tongues at the neighborhood, just so we know. Okay? We want to be a blessing to that neighborhood. And also, just to clarify, the primary goal of us praying for the ABC streets is not to grow Oak River. What? Did the pastor just say that? Is that what the pastor just said? Yeah, that's what the pastor just said. Yeah. So I just want to encourage you that the primary goal of us praying for the ABC streets is that Jesus will make himself known in that neighborhood. That's our primary goal. That we want to just pour out love on those people. We just want to love them well, okay? And if you happen to prayer walk, pick up a few of these and stick them in your pocket so that if anybody engages you in conversation, says, hey, are you from this area? Blah, blah, blah. No, I'm here because I just want to pray for you guys. Then you can whip this out and give it to them as a way of saying, we're from Oak River Church. There's a bunch of them in that basket right there on the back table as you're exiting. So just grab a few, how many ever you want, and stick them in your pocket. They're great size for that, okay? Do we have any testimonies of people who have been praying for the ABC streets and God directed you in a certain way? Is that anybody? Any testimonies that you want to share? I'll share one. So this morning I was driving to church. I was going to share it later in my sermon, but oh well, that's all right. I was driving to church and I was praying for the ABC streets. I was praying for my street in particular, Solon Boulevard. And as I was praying, I had worship music on, and the song switched mid-prayer, you know. And the song came on from Elevation Worship, There is a Cloud. Woo! I'll send the link to you if you want to see it, because this is what it says. I wrote the lyrics when I had glasses on. Can't really read them without the glasses. Okay, so I wrote down the lyrics before service. It says, hear the word roaring as thunder with a new future to tell. For the dry season is over, there is a cloud beginning to swell. And when I heard that part of the song, I remembered the scripture where the prophet said, I see a cloud the size of a man's hand. And I felt like God said, there is a cloud over the ABC streets the size of a man's hand. and it's growing and it's just burgeoning with blessings from God. And then it goes on. It says, every seed planted in sorrow, you will call forth in its time. You are Lord, Lord of the harvest, calling our hope now to arise. That's powerful. That's really, really powerful when you think about it. And it was kind of interesting because in my devotional time this morning, I'm reading, as part of my devotions, I'm reading this book about throne room prayers. And it's talking about the power of prayers. And this morning, he just happened to talk about the fact that when Finney, a great revivalist of old, before he would go into a city to preach revival, he would send two people ahead of him, 4 to 6 weeks ahead of him, and they would stay in that region and they would pray. That's all. That's all. They would pray. And when I read that this morning, I felt like the Lord said, that's what this Lent season is doing. You are preparing the soil for harvest. Because then when Finney would go in, there would be thousands and thousands of people who would come into the kingdom of God. Thousands. In those days. Long time ago. I don't even know the time. Probably somebody in here would know the time. I don't. I'm not I'm not wired to be that way. Historical. You know. I don't remember dates and names so much. But I just love that God gave me that this morning as a reminder of the power of what we're doing for Lent. So I just encourage you to be part of that. If you have a testimony and you want to share it next week or the next week, let me know. Because I think it would build people's faith if you could share testimony. Ah, yeah. Also, I want to let you know, ladies especially, we have the Castle Retreat coming up the last weekend of this month, the 29th through the 31st. So I just encourage you, if you haven't gotten the registration form, there are some back there. There are some on the welcome table back there. We encourage as many as possible to come. It's such an incredible event. Megan and her girl squad come and lead worship for us. And it's a great time. It's really a massive move of God that happens every time. This is my fourth year going, and it's been amazing every year. And so I just encourage you to come if you can at all possible come. It would be great. But Karen, who organizes the event, did request that we turn in our forms and our money to either Stephanie or Linda or put it under their door so that we can collect all of ours and send them all in bulk, kind of. It makes it easier for her on organization. So if possible, that would be great. Okay. You still with me? Good, good. You look like you are. So we're continuing the series today called Seasons and Seeds. Seasons and Seeds. And Dave kicked it off last week with Season of Loving, and I'm continuing this week with the title called Sorrow and Joy. Now, I am not a gardener. That is even actually a massive understatement. I kill things. I don't grow things. I don't mean to. I just am not good at growing things. I either overwater or forget them. And they just, you know. So, yeah, I'm not good with plants. But I know this much. I know that there are certain seasons that you need to plant certain seeds. And if you plant them off season, you're not going to get fruit. Woo, she's a gardener. I know this here. I don't know this here. But I do know that. So today I wanted to talk about what seeds you plant, what seeds we plant during seasons, certain seasons. Today we're talking about sorrow. What do you plant during sorrow? And what do you plant during joy? So in seasons of sorrow, we're going to go to Psalm 13, and we're going to keep it there for a little while in the Passion Translation. If you have it on your Bible app, go for it. You might have a hard copy even, I don't know. Passion Translation. Otherwise, it's up here, so we make it easy for you. Psalm 13 says this. Well, my first point is keep it real. Keep it real. I think one of the great disservices we Christians have done to other Christians and to the world is that we make it not okay for people to be sad. We throw these these cliches at them. You know, I'm really struggling because I'm missing my dad. Oh, you'll see him again, don't worry. Yes, I know I will. But that doesn't take away the ache in my heart right now. You understand? He's in a better place. Of course he is. Of course he is. But he's not with me. Don't cry. Don't be sad. Be glad for him. Shut up. Sorry, kids. You're not supposed to say that. That's what I feel like saying. Like, until you've walked 5 steps in my shoes, please don't throw cliches at me. Don't even throw scripture at me. Do you know scripture can be a weapon we pound each other with, or it can be a beautiful tool of healing? It all depends on the delivery. Right after I went through my divorce, actually, I was in the middle of going through my divorce, someone, I'm sure, dear-hearted. I'm sure she had the right. I don't even know her name, so it's not like I have any hard feelings against her. But she sent me 2 pages typed of scripture, and they were all about why I shouldn't leave my husband. She didn't know anything. She really didn't know anything about my situation. And it's okay. But don't do that to people. Don't use the scripture as a weapon against people. The scripture is a weapon against the enemy, not against people. Keep it real. Psalm 13, 1 through 2 says, I'm hurting, Lord. Will you forget me forever? How much longer, Lord? Will you look the other way when I'm in need? How much longer must I cling to this constant grief? I've endured the shaking of my soul. So how much longer will my enemy have the upper hand? It's been long enough. Have you ever looked at God and said, Uncle, can't take anymore, right? I love that God gives us permission to keep it real with him. And I want to be more like him. I want to give permission to keep it real with me. And I want to keep it real with others. Like, we need to have an environment where it's okay to say, I am not okay right now. I may look okay, but I am not okay. Now, to clarify, I am okay, so don't sweat. But I have moments when I'm not okay. And I either reach out to someone that I know I can trust to be real with, or I turn on worship music, or I just turn to God and say, okay, God, I'm really broken right now and I need your help. He always comes through. And that kind of leads me to the next point. Don't camp there for too long. You know, it's okay to be real, but some people build a house on real. And that is not a good place to live. It's just not. There's no benefit to it. There's nothing to be gained by getting comfortable with your grief, getting comfortable with your pitiful situation. There's nothing to be gained by that. So my second point is plant seeds of prayer watered with humility. In the next 2 verses, we see this. I love that David so often is like, are you kidding me? But then he comes back around. He always comes back around. He continues by saying, take a good look at me, God, and answer me. Breathe your life into my spirit. Bring light to my eyes in this pitch black darkness, or I will sleep the sleep of death. Don't let my enemy proclaim I've prevailed over him, for all my adversaries will celebrate when I fall. Do you see what David did there? He's like, God, I need you. Without you, I will not make it. That's beautiful. That's a beautiful dependency on God that David prayed, but he watered his prayer with humility. He didn't come at God and go, God, are you kidding me? Are you doing me this way? Really? Because I've done this and this and this and this and this for you. Come on. No. Prayer watered with humility. Without you, I'm not going to make it. And I really don't want my adversaries to say, ha ha, when I fall. That's Andy's pitiful translation, but you get the idea. After my father passed away, I had known for a lot of years. When he retired 18 years ago, he really felt called to start a prayer list. Now, I know before that he had prayed for me and my siblings and anybody in our family every day, but after he retired, he knew he could up his timetable, and so he started a prayer list. And I knew he prayed for me every day. I knew he prayed for his prayer list every day. But I had no comprehension until after he passed away what that really was. So I said to my mom the day after he passed away, I said, Mom, I know Dad had a prayer list. I know he prayed for everybody on that prayer list every day. Can I just see that? I'd like to just see it, you know? And she goes, yeah. So she pulls it out, and it's typed and it's worn. It has the oils from his skin on it, you know? And I start looking, and then we start counting how many names are on that prayer list. Took us a while. There were 1,023 names on that list. And I'm like, I put the paper down. I'm like, Mom, because I'm kind of a pragmatist, you know? I'm like, Mom, are you kidding me? Like, did he really call out every name on this prayer list every day? I was skeptical. I said, or did he just look over the list, and if God highlighted somebody, then he would pray for that person? Because that's probably what I would have done. And she goes, no, he prayed for every name on that list every day. It took him 3 to 4 hours every day. Talk about seeds of prayer. So, I don't know, about a week later, I found out one of my family members needed prayer for something. And I just felt really directed to pray for her. And so I told Mom and my sister, who we were there at the time together at the house, I said, I really feel like we're supposed to pray for this family member. She's real private, so I don't want to say her name even in case she listens to the message. And I said, I really feel like we're supposed to pray for her. And my mom was like, okay, how do you want to do it? And I go, well, I think God is leading me to get one of Dad's handkerchiefs and anoint it with the oil that I gave to him from Jerusalem. And then send it to her. She had been working and we weren't able to connect live and in person. Because in the New Testament, it talks about Paul having handkerchiefs anointed and being sending those handkerchiefs out and people getting healed. So I just really felt like I was supposed to do that. So that's what we did. We took one of his old hankies, because he was an old-fashioned guy, still carried a hanky every day. And we took one of his hankies and we anointed it with the oil I had given him from Jerusalem. And we folded it, and the three of us gathered around and laid our hands on that hanky and prayed over it. And almost as soon as we started praying, God gave me this vision in my mind, this vision of this giant gold bowl in heaven. And I knew that that bowl contained all of the prayers my dad had ever prayed while he was on earth. I just knew it. And then as we prayed for my family member, I felt like I saw his hand go in there and do this to the bowl. And it was like he was saying, I am mixing your prayers today with all of your dad's prayers in the big gold bowl. And at first I'm like, wait, is that from God? Because that's weird. But then I remembered there's a verse in Revelation that talks about the prayers of the saints being collected in gold bowls and them rising as incense before the Father. And I'm like, I guess I wasn't crazy. I guess it was real, you know? Don't ever, ever, ever underestimate the power of prayer. Now, she hasn't gotten her miracle yet, but I am believing I am waiting for the day I'm going to get the phone call from her to say, it has happened. I'm healed. I'm waiting because I have such faith that it's going to happen. What else can you plant in seasons of sorrow? Plant seeds of trust, watered with thanks. Continuing on in the same chapter, it says, Lord, I have always trusted in your kindness, so answer me. I will yet celebrate with passion and joy when your salvation lifts me up. Do you see that trust level there? David is saying, I'm in a mess right now, but I am confident that one day I will yet celebrate with passion and joy. Oh, I just love that so much. That's a seed of trust watered with thanks. The last one is hard in seasons of sorrow to plant. It's hard. But there's so much value in it. Plant seeds of songs watered with confidence. Now listen, sometimes my song sounds like, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus." Like I'm eking out a song, you know? Sometimes that's how it feels. But there is so much value in planting songs in seasons of sorrow. There's so much value. There's a verse, I can't think where it is right now, but there's a verse, somebody's probably going to know, that says that when you go out and plant seeds with weeping, you will bring in a big harvest from those seeds, a harvest of joy. Will come from those seeds planted with tears. And I feel like that's so true of songs. It's like something happens when you prove to yourself and you prove to the enemy of your soul that your song will not be silenced. No matter how sad you are, no matter how little hope you have, your song will not be silenced. I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah. What's the next line? Fear has lost its hold on me. Ooh, there's something that happens inside when you do that. I can't describe it, but there's something deep that happens. Ooh, let's get out of sorrow. What do you plant in seasons of joy? You see, here's the thing. We haven't let ourselves feel sorrow and be real with sorrow, and so we've lost our ability to celebrate with joy too. I really believe that. Because if you can't keep it real when you're in sorrow, how can you keep it real when you're in celebration? How can you keep it real when you're in joy? I want to keep it real both places. First of all, plant seeds of songs. Wait, we just did that one. It's not an accident. We did it on purpose. Plant seeds of songs watered with thanks. This time we're in Psalm 28:7. It says, the Lord is my strength and shield. I trust him with all my heart. He helps me and my heart is filled with joy. I burst out in songs of thanksgiving. Do you see how different that is than, 'tis so sweet? So different, right? You burst out in songs of thanksgiving when you're in joy. The problem is many of us, when things are going bad, we're like, why God, why? And then when things are going right, we forget God's there. Can't we celebrate with the same fervor we cry? This might just be a girl thing, but when I was a teenager, I'm so embarrassed to admit this. Jesus, help me. I would be having sad times. And I would go and look at myself in the mirror while I cry. Did anyone else ever do that? Please be honest. Yes, I am not alone. I don't know what that was. I really don't. I can't understand it, but it was a thing. I would be like, I don't even know why I did that. That's so weird. But at least I'm not weird, alone in my weirdness. Okay, if you're a teenager and you do that, it's okay. You will grow past it. Yes. Plant seeds of songs when you're in joy. The next kind of seed you can plant when you're in a season of joy is seeds of celebration, watered with shouts. Watered with shouts. Psalm 32:11 says, so celebrate the goodness of God. He shows this kindness to everyone who is his. Go ahead, shout for joy, all you upright ones who want to please him. I love that. We have been given permission to cry. We have been given permission to shout. The world should not know. Yeah, the world should not know how to celebrate better than we know how to celebrate. I don't know why. We think it's okay to be with our non-Christian friends and they're having a party and we're whooping it up. And then we come into church and we're like, what is that? It's messed up is what it is. Hello. Thank you. Psalm 25. Listen to this one. This is interesting. 20 verse 5. When you succeed, we will celebrate. Now that's different than the world. Should be. Because in the world, when someone else succeeds, the natural thing is like, what are they doing that I'm not doing? Because I want to do what they're doing. Because I don't like that they're getting success. And Jesus help us. That should not happen in the church. Shouldn't happen in our church family. When you succeed, we will celebrate and shout for joy. Flags will fly when the victory is yours. Yes, God will answer your prayers and we will praise him. I want to be really good at celebrating the success of others. I really do. It is my heart that when someone else succeeds, instead of thinking, why not me? Poor little me. No. No. Yes! You know what? It should prove to me, if God can do it for them, he can do it for me. If you want to make it about you, that's how you make it about you. Just go, okay. God loves us the same, so if he did it for them, he can do it for me in his time. You see, he's the Lord of the harvest. He decides the timetable. This last one is going to mess with us a little bit, but that's all right. Plant seeds of deep drinks, watered with telling others. And now I'm not talking about a brewski. Just to clarify. Why is it that we think that if we're having a party, there has to be brewskis there to make it a real party? Why? Listen, this isn't a message about alcohol. That's so stupid to me. I mean, the Bible says don't be drunk, so don't be drunk. That's clear. But I don't want to get hung up on the drinking part. But I do want to submit to you that if you can't have a party without alcohol, you might want to check yourself and ask yourself, what am I trying to satisfy? And why can't I be free and drop my inhibitions without that? Because in Isaiah 12, 3 through 5, it says, with joy you will drink deeply from the fountain of salvation. What if we took as many swigs of salvation as we did of the other stuff? That's my challenge to you. You want to drink? Drink. But drink salvation as much as you drink the other stuff. Just drink it in. Drink it in. In that wonderful day, you will sing, thank the Lord, praise his name. Tell the nations what he has done. Let them know how mighty he is. Sing to the Lord, for he has done wonderful things. Make known his praise around the world. What do you water that with? Publicity. When you take a big old drink from the fountain of salvation, tell someone. Tell a bunch of someones. Put it on Facebook. Put it on Instagram. Put it on Snapchat. Whatever else you do. Tell somebody, I just had the most delicious drink of salvation that I've ever had in my life. And I didn't have a hangover. I can remember what happened. I don't have a headache. Spiritual hangovers are real. I have had those before, but they're good. They're not bad. They're really, 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 really good. I don't know what season you're in right now. This week, I've been through about 12 different seasons. Has anybody else? Yeah, yeah. And I'm not bipolar. I'm like quadruple polar. This week I was just shaking my head a couple times at myself. I'm like, girl, you got to get it together a little bit. My brother did the sweetest thing, my little brother. He took one of my dad's favorite shirts and had it made into a pillow. And then he sprayed it with my dad's cologne. So I opened that up and fell on the floor crying. But they weren't tears of sorrow. They were mostly, but they were just tears of appreciation to my brother and to my dad for the legacy he chose to live. You know? And then 20 minutes later, I'm woo, shouting through the house, praising God. And then I'm crying, and then I'm shouting. It's okay. Maybe you started when you came in one season and you're going out in a different season. That's okay too. Just look at what seed you can plant no matter what season you're in. Look at the seeds you can plant no matter what season you're in. Because I believe God is the great farmer. He is the great harvester. And I plant a seed sometimes and I don't know if I'll ever see anything come from that seed. But that's not my job. You see, my job is to plant and trust. And the Father watches over it. Did you ever notice that some plants, I think this is true, help me, that some plants, they come to fruition quickly and other plants, they take longer to mature. Is that true, Rhonda? Yeah, I thought so. So sometimes when you plant seeds, you see a harvest from it really quickly. And sometimes you're like, hello. Just trust. Trust the farmer. Trust the great harvester. Trust. It is so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word. God, I thank you that you can be trusted, that you are trustworthy. God, I thank you that my confidence does not rest in a certain outcome. My confidence rests in you. I thank you, God, if I'm in a season of sorrow, I can cry and I can ask questions and I can feel the feelings that I have without feeling guilty about them. But God, I can also plant some seeds. And God, I thank you that if I'm in a season of celebration, there are seeds to plant there too. And so I pray that we would get really good at Oak River at celebrating. I feel like we have learned pretty well how to plant seeds in sorrow. We've learned how to keep it real with each other. Maybe it's an ongoing process. We are learning how. But God, I want to get really good at celebrating too. I want to celebrate your goodness and your salvation with the same fervor that I cry, with the same intensity that I question. And may we as a family, church family, may we know how to do that well together. Give us a sensitivity to the other person. That if I'm in a season of celebration and they're in a season of sorrow, I'm willing to come alongside them. Or if I'm in a season of sorrow and they're celebrating, that I'm willing to come alongside them in that too. Just give us a deference to each other, Lord, that only can come from you and your Holy Spirit. And I thank you for every person in this room. So many of them have been planting seeds for a long time in a season of sorrow. And it's been a long, long season. But I thank you that there is a cloud the size of a man's hand. And it is growing. And when the blessings start coming down, it's going to come down so fast, it's going to amaze us. And so I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Did anybody think of a testimony you want to share about when you were praying over the ABC streets? Because we have time. It's not even noon. Anybody? Okay. Then we will just let you know that next week, I asked Jeff Davidson to speak. Jeff and Amber lead our Extend Love team. Isn't that awesome? They lead our Extend Love team, you know, where we go out and do stuff in the community. They're taking a trip to Laura's home very soon to feed women and children who have gone through crisis in their lives of different kinds. It's a great ministry. So if you want to partner with them, raise your hands, guys. See them after church today. I don't think it's too late. That's happening, what date? April 12th. So if you want to be part of that, that would be awesome. But I've asked him to preach next week because he's going to share about some mission trips coming up, opportunities coming up in this year. And his message is called Seeds for the Future. It's good to plant seeds for the future too, right? So that's next week. You don't want to miss it. It's going to be fabulous. And remember, ladies, if you want to go to the castle, we'd love to have you join us for that. Okay? Have a great week. Love you guys.